Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, November 9th, 2018. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 155, the second full paragraph. Today's readers are Penny L.C. on the 12 Steps, Marissa E. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Libby E., Julie E. B., and Stephanie L. The share ID for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting, November 8th, is 12,158. That's 12158. And for this morning, November 9th, 7 a.m. meeting, the share ID is 12,161 or 12161. And our newcomer greeter today is Melanie C. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Penny L.C. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Kathy, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington, and these are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps, we try to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you very much, Penny L.C. Marissa E., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, my fellows. This is Marissa E., a recovered compulsive overeater outside Los Angeles. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Marissa E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 155, the second full paragraph. And I will now ask Libby E. to begin reading for us.
Thank you, Kathy. Hi, I'm Libby E., recovered compulsive eater in New York. When our friends related his experience, the man agreed that no amount of willpower he might muster could stop his drinking for long. A spiritual experience, he conceded, was absolutely necessary, but the price seemed high upon the basis suggested. He told how he lived in constant worry about those who might find out about his alcoholism. He had, of course, the familiar alcoholic obsession that few knew of his drinking. Why, he argued, should he lose the remainder of his business only to bring still more suffering to his family by foolishly admitting his plight to people from whom he made his livelihood? He would do anything, he said, but that. Being intrigued, however, he invited our friend to his home. Sometime later, and just as he thought he was getting control of his liquor situation, he went on a roaring bender. For him, this was the spree that ended all sprees. He saw that he would have to face his problem squarely, that God might give him mastery. Wow, great paragraphs today. It says, when our friend related his experience. So when I heard others share with me that they too could not stop, that they too suffered the way I did, that's when I was ready and willing to do what they did. And what exactly did they do? You know, I'm
eat less,
so grateful,
exercise more.
Grateful for a vision
all
for
right.
you. I heard it on this line again and again that this is a program of action. And, you know, it says it here, a spiritual experience, he conceded, was absolutely necessary. No willpower, no self-knowledge, not 90 meetings in 90 days could ever get me well. I struggled in these rooms for almost 10 years, and I spent so much time, so many years looking for easier, softer ways. And, you know, every time I relapsed again, I thought it was a moral issue. I was bad. I was weak. And when I was beaten enough by this disease, literally finding myself at that jumping off place, I was given that gift of desperation because I could not go on living the way I was living. And I finally became willing to face my problems squarely and to admit, yes, I do suffer from this allergy of the body and mental obsession. And I was willing to do anything just not to be stuck in that hell of relapse even one more second. It couldn't matter anymore what it felt like. I was dying, and I had to do what you were all doing and to allow God to come in and save me. But I had to do the work, all these 12 steps in order, one step at a time. And, you know, it's interesting how I thought no one knew. Because I was always busy hiding and pretending I was fine. But, you know, what about those 30, 50 pounds I gained in a really short period of time, which happened again and again? And how about that I was finishing every bit of food in sight, and I really thought no one knew? I mean, what about the unhappiness, the misery, neglecting my husband and kids? It was just so obvious, but, you know, I was in denial, and I thought no one knew. And it was the tremendous suffering of a relapse after relapse after relapse that took me out of that denial. And I finally took step one. And I opened that big book and started doing the work. And today, thank God, I don't have to live in constant worry about other people, you know, what people find out. I work these steps like my life depends on it and nothing else matters. Because this is a deadly disease. And I'm so grateful for these 12 steps, which are life-saving, because today I could experience that freedom you all talk about, which I never thought possible for me. And that comes as a result of a spiritual experience, which was absolutely necessary. So thanks for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Libby E. Okay, I'm ready to take names one at a time, please.
Tina S.
Tina R.
Wendy M.
Okay, one second. Tina S. Tina R. Wendy M. Okay.
Melanie C.
Melanie C.
Julie E. B.
I'm sorry, who is that B?
Julie E. B.
Oh, okay. Julie. Sorry, Julie E. B. One more. Liz.
Yeah, Liz T. as in Tom.
Okay, great. Thank you. We'll stop there. So we have Tina S., Tina R., Wendy M., Melanie C., Julie E. B., and Liz T. Okay, let's get started with Tina S. Thank you. Press star one, Tina S.
Sorry about that. Thanks, Kathy, for your service. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Wow, some great stuff. And, you know, I loved the share. And I, too, was one of those ones who someone shared their experience, strength, and hope with me, and I related. You know, and I love that it talks about willpower, because for a very long time, I thought I had some great willpower because I was a great dieter until I wasn't. And, you know, and today, you know, they also shared with me that it is about a spiritual experience. It's not about the food. It's about the food till it's not about the food, because I have to be entirely abstinent. And, you know, one of the things that a spiritual awakening has to have is an entire psychic change, which means total, complete. And, you know, I don't know if I was really willing to do any of that, but I was just done, you know. And it talks about, you know, we think other people didn't know. At the point when I came in, I didn't care if other people knew. I was in so much pain. You know, I was also in another 12-step program because, you know, this is my experience. And I was willing to go to a mental institution as opposed to deal with my eating disorder, you know. So because I thought somehow, some way, this food thing was too small for God, which just led me to realize that I had been playing God in many areas of my life and continued to do that. And without a spiritual awakening and knowing that, you know, there had to be a power greater than myself that could restore me to sanity, I wasn't going to be getting a handle on this thing. And so today I'm just grateful that I know that there is a solution and I choose to live in it. And I'm glad you're all on the line. And thanks so much for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Tina S. Gina R., please share with us.
Hi, Kathy. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And I'm a compulsive eater in Green Valley, Arizona. The part on this that is really resonating for me this morning is the man agreed that no amount of willpower he could muster could stop. And then it says his drinking for long. And where I am with this process is understanding that the drinking or the eating or whatever is not the problem. That was the solution I used to cover up the problem. And it really, the problem has always been my thinking and the actions that have resulted from that, because I wasn't able to recognize and deal with in an appropriate way the emotions that were coming up. So on page 85 in the big book, it talks about every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. So when I take that coupled with this and then I'm not sure if we read one or two paragraphs, but the reader read the second paragraph and it ended with that God might give him mastery. So if I am aligned with God's will and I understand through the relationship ideal that I prayed for when I was working my steps 4 through 9, and if I'm living within that relationship ideal the best I can and connecting with the power that God gives me to do that, then I can develop mastery over these problems that have been bedeviling me for years. I was a person who didn't really show up with a lot of weight on my body. I showed up with a haughty attitude. I showed up with a critical spirit. I showed up with an ability to slash and burn people verbally with my very big vocabulary, and I hurt a lot of people. So it wasn't that I was afraid of people noticing I was overweight or having food thoughts. I was nervous about people recognizing how the character defects were coming up for me. This is a program that can walk you through dealing with the issue that's keeping you from understanding how these thoughts and these emotions can be mastered with God's help. And I just trust if you're new on the line and you have not taken the hand of somebody yet to let them guide you through this process, that you would pray about that and put yourself out there today and make it happen for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Gina R. Wendy M., please share with us.
Yes, good morning. It's Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Grateful to be on the line. Thank you, Kathy, and everybody else for your service. So what strikes me is sort of one foot in, one foot out, right? So this guy's willing to do it. He knows in his head, self-knowledge, that it's a spiritual experience that's going to, for the spiritual malady that he's experiencing. But is he willing to go all the way, right? So when for 15 years I was in OA, and for me it was half measures. It was peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and saying I was still abstinent, or, you know, no sugar added drinks and saying that that was okay because it said no sugar on the title. You know, I was one foot in, one foot out. I wanted God, but I also wanted my way. And that's not a great place to be, right? So I still want to control outcomes. And this guy is the same, you know. And when I met my vision sponsor, she said to me, how willing are you? You know, are you willing to go to any length, right? Are you willing to do what I did to get what I have, you know? And then she finally said, how free do you want to be? How free do I want to be? Well, that's a great question. And my experience is I want to be pretty free. So that means I pretty much need to jump into God's world, not mine. Because when I'm in my world, it's scratchy and itchy. And when I'm with God, it is good. If it feels good, it's God. It's that simple, you know. And it's a practice. The spiritual experience is not something I just have. It's a practice, right? It's a relationship that I develop. And what I've been experiencing lately is that if we're aligned with God, not only is it good, but we're happy, joyous, and free, because that's God's will. So if I'm aligned with activities and action and practice that gives me happy, joyous, and free, I'm good to go. I'm in God's world. That is a spiritual experience for me. And sometimes, you know, people say, just go have a spiritual experience or just go to God. I'll be like, I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know how to do that, right? But what I do know is I know the things that are happy, joyous, and free. You know, and when I'm having thoughts like I'm a great mother, I'm a great sister, I'm a great daughter, I'm a great ex-wife, you know, God's like, yes, keep going, right? Because God wants that to get louder and louder and louder. That is the aligning with God. That is the happy, joyous, and free, you know. Or I'm sending love notes to a sister that I was really challenged by. And every time I send her a note, my world gets bigger and God gets bigger. And the experience of having a spiritual experience gets larger, right? So it's what can I do to increase happy, joyous, and free? And then it's increasing God, what God wants, right? That's aligning with God. But again, it's a program of action. I can't just think about these things. I actually have to be practicing this spiritual experience. And the great news is that when you do practice happy, joyous, and free, it only feels better and better and better. And that's God's for me, that's God. That's God. That's the vibration of God. And when I'm feeling small and scared, you know, I'm way far away from God. So that's all I got to say this morning. Thanks very much, Lynn, for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy. Melanie C., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Thanks for your service, everyone. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I like the fact that there was such a shift from the last paragraph to this. I have been there, I can't even tell you how many times. And then this, you know, idea that I could change that thinking from the debate of yes, I am, no, I'm not, yes, I am, no, I'm not, and all this stuff was just bombarding me to thinking about my responsibilities for somebody else wasn't possible. It wasn't possible. I meant for it to be. I wanted it to be. I pretended like it was. I gave every effort to it, but I couldn't. I couldn't until these things in here did something for me. It was about moving a muscle. Moving a muscle one way or the other to interrupt and shift. You know, I thought that I was victim and prey to whatever it was that I was thinking, that I had to react to whatever was going into my head. I didn't know anything other than that. And I was shown in here in these rooms that I didn't have to, that I could pause for a moment. And in that moment, with that particular shift in muscle, there was space for a higher power to come in and transform my twisted thinking. And I had some sort of prayer then at that particular point. It was just turning and moving towards that idea and that thought. And I was just absolutely stunned. The day finally, I suppose it was happening beforehand, but the day that I got to see it and feel it and experience it and then know for a fact that something different was going on inside me that had never happened before. Never happened before. There was something to reach to. There was something very important to lose. And I believe then at that particular point that the gravity of this disease, perhaps about the food, but more importantly about the thing that operated everything that I did, which was what's located in the center of my skull, wasn't thinking the same way it had before. And that it had some sort of space and way in which to act in a way that my heart and my gut always wanted to be. Slowly but surely over time, did the same kinds of things. gosh, what is it that you would want me to do, husband? Or I couldn't do that before, or I better not do that because I know that's going to hurt his heart. I was watching that happen. I didn't have any control over that before, and then being able to call somebody else. You know, and just be that thing in between what had the miracle that happened to me and sharing that with another compulsive overeater, telling them as well that there would be moments where they wouldn't have to pick up, that we've gone through things so catastrophic and we never picked up over that and shared those kinds of things with people, that we're able to move and away from the smells of the air or the intensity of the most catastrophic pain that happened in the moment. We were able to turn by the grace of God to an action that was going to lead to greater and bigger. And not because that was a goal at all, but greater and bigger relationship with self through God's power and mercy. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Melanie C. Julie E.B., please share with us.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater, one day at a time. It's just beautiful to say that the food is down today. However, I have to say that my will, speaking of willpower, has been kicking up the last couple of days. And so I just remind anyone else listening that can identify that we are not perfect. We're making progress, onward movement towards a goal spiritually. But by picking up these steps, I have a way to move back into being awake to God, awake to conscious contact with something bigger and something different than just my will. The price seemed high. I didn't have the willpower. The price seemed high on that basis. What basis is that? Well, as I've learned these past few days, I have to quit playing God. Why? The book says it doesn't work. Turns out I don't know what's best for everyone. Turns out I have been humbled, found myself arguing over the most ridiculous thing and coming to tears and struggling to change reality and bend reality. It turns out I can't do it. This gentleman was talking about how he lived in constant worry that he would be seen. Well, guess what? I am seen. And the only person who couldn't look myself in the mirror before working through these steps was me. Now, today, without worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, I can look myself in the mirror and say, hey, I was in my boss's office. I was power struggling. I was crying. I was a mess. And how does my higher power respond? I come to work, and there's a letter of appreciation with an award, a bonus attached to it in my box from my boss saying how much she appreciates the work I'm doing. That is not my will. That is my higher power. I had the obsession that few noticed. My life was a mess that few noticed in my business acquaintances and other places. I would do anything rather than to show myself in the world. But now, instead of turning from yesterday's mistake and just hiding my head in shame, now today I can face myself. I can work steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And I can be more awake today to how God is at work, because I've been humbled by my little experience of trying to work these things out with self-will. Thanks for letting me share today, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Liz T., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. My name is Liz T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. And thank you, God, for the precious gift of abstinence and fellowship and recovery. I guess I'm kind of zoning in on the alcoholic obsession, that few knew of his drinking, why he argued should he lose the remainder of his business, only to bring still more suffering to his family by foolishly admitting his plight to people from whom he made his livelihood. He would do anything but that. So I can relate to wanting to avoid steps 8 and 9, you know, working through all of the prior steps, entirely abstinent, getting to step 9, making a few amends, and then thinking, oh, this isn't so bad after all. You know, this is better than life in the food. It's better than white-knuckled abstinence. I was feeling some relief. But wouldn't you know, I still had people on my list I had not completed yet. I was starting to learn how to do step 10, starting to enrich step 11. I even started sponsoring. I got the go-ahead from my sponsor at the time to go ahead. So, you know, we don't know what we don't know. And what it took for me to learn that I needed to, first of all, take a very solid step 1, because if I pick up the food again, I'm no longer admitting my powerlessness. So not only a very solid step 1 in my desperation of a drowning woman in my unmanageability, but also that we work the steps in order, at least for me, and complete steps to the best of our ability. At least for me, it was making the attempts to contact people, not just avoiding the people on the list. It's a little bit different than actually reaching out and trying to contact them in my step 9. I haven't reached everyone, and not everyone has agreed to meet with me, but at least I've made that attempt, and I feel more at peace with my creator, my higher power. The more and more of the shame has melted away. I'm able to go through more difficult things in life. You know, there's been some stuff going on in my life that a year ago I would have definitely, probably, most likely been, you know, struggling with my abstinence and food thoughts. And today, because I stay really close to you guys in 10, 11, and 12, I don't feel the crazy thoughts about food, and I'm just so grateful. And I know that's a daily reprieve, and I wake up every day a pumpkin again in untreated alcoholism, untreated compulsive overeating. You know, it's just beautiful to see how higher power is working. I was getting into some self-centered fear this morning, and I shared it with my husband, and then he shared with what was going on in his work life, and I just realized, God, I'm so lucky to have a husband that has stood by me through all of this and has accepted me through the good times and the bad. And when I am driven by 100 forms of fear, he is still there, and all you guys are still there. So it's confirmed that I'm loved and I'm being carried, and I'm not going to be dropped on my head just because there's some rough spots ahead. So thank you for everyone for being there, and have a great day. I'll pass.
Thank you, Liz T. Okay, we have time for another group. Who would like to share, please, one at a time?
No.
I'm sorry. Who was the first name?
Beatrice
L. Okay.
No, Beatrice O.
Oh, sorry. Beatrice, got it. Who else?
Kelly S.
Kelly S. Who came in with Kelly?
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
Chrissy.
Chrissy, what's your last initial?
K.
K, thank you. Maybe two more names? Okay, we'll go ahead with those.
Barbara C.
Barbara C. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Who is next? Did I hear one more name after Barbara C? Okay, so we have Beatrice O, Kelly S, Jordan L, Chrissy K, and Barbara C. Please share with us, Beatrice.
Okay, my name is Beatrice L from California, and I just wanted to share where it says, a spiritual experience he conceded was absolutely necessary, but the price seemed high upon the basis suggested. Anyway, so I've been in OA for quite a while, and what I needed to concede or to believe, more importantly, was that I had a disease. for a long time, I don't think I ever believed that I had a disease, nor did I believe I had an allergy. I thought that some way, eventually, if I was spiritual enough, I could eat like a normal person. And the spiritual part, it took me a very long time to believe that God was gonna heal me from compulsive eating. And I've been abstinent now. I mean, I've been in OA for 38 years. I've relapsed over and over and over again. But I finally got to the point where I know that only God is keeping me abstinent today, and that I do have a disease. And the recovery model that AA uses is a brain disease. And I didn't believe that I had an allergy, but I know that it's a mental disorder. And I don't think that we'd have recovery centers for food addiction and alcoholism if it wasn't a disease. So that part I had to accept. And anyway, the steps is what I need to help me heal the emotional deprivation or abandonment and all the, because I came in as a broken child. Anyway, so I just wanted to share. Thank you for letting me share. That's it.
Thank you, Beatrice O. And Kelly S., please share with us.
Hi, this is Kelly S. Sorry, I have a little bit of a cold. Thank you, Kathy, for your service. Kelly S. recovered in Oklahoma. Great paragraphs. And again, you know, great shares. Oh, my gosh, I just love the shares this morning. So spiritual experience, he conceded, was absolutely necessary. Again, you know, it talks about early in the big book, we have to concede to our innermost self. And that was, they used some, you know, Bill and the writers used some powerful words in these books that I never really wanted to look at in my 30-something years of experience here. And that was the thing I was missing. You know, I was missing. I was not conceding to my innermost self, you know, that I needed this spiritual experience. I mean, yeah, I had a food problem. I had a weight problem. Yeah. But, yeah, God might help me get through that. But I just needed to put the food down, lose weight, right? You know, I didn't understand the spiritual malady. I wasn't willing to admit that I needed this spiritual experience and that it was absolutely necessary. It's not just, you know, oh, yeah, you might try getting close to God, whatever, you know. I had to put the food down 100% black and white. And then, you know, it says on step 12, the last step, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. So how do I get this spiritual experience? You know, I used to read Lifeline all the time, and there'd be all these stories of people having these white light experiences, which is awesome, great. And I try to create those, and that doesn't work. And that's not what the steps tell us. Yeah, some people get that, but most of us, me anyway, had the spiritual awakening they talk about in the appendix in the back of the book. But I have to work these steps. That's where the promise comes in step 12. I had to work these steps. And so it says when our friend related his experience in the first person who shared, you know, talked about this. When you guys shared, when I heard people on the vision, you know, talking about, you know, working these steps, you know, when I heard my story, I heard people suffering like me for years and been around these rooms for 30-something years and finally understood the spiritual malady. You know, I got to that desperation, as other people had shared, that jumping off place. You know, I was willing to listen. I don't know if the message wasn't being told to me in 30-something years, that's what I always want to say, or if I just wasn't open and ready. But you know what? And I was also sharing with somebody yesterday about this, and I'll wrap up here in a minute. But, you know, yes, I gained 125 pounds off and on for years. I was bulimic. I was underweight. I was all those things. But you know what? People see that the lights aren't on. You know, they can tell in our faces, you know, my family, my friends. You know, maybe work people don't know, but I'm sure they do. So I think it's crazy that I thought, well, people don't know Yeah, right. So, you know, today the lights are on. Yes, I'm maintaining a normal body weight, but I've done that before, you guys. So today I'm connected with my higher power. Why? Because I continue to work these steps. And yes, sometimes I get blocked, but that's what 10 and 11 and 12 do. They keep me connected to my higher power, to my true self, and to you guys. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Kelly S. May I remind everyone, if you're using a speakerphone, to please change to headphones or to earphones. The speaker creates problems for us on the line. Okay, Jordan L., please share with us.
Good morning. Can you hear me, Kathy?
I can.
Good morning, guys. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. well, I just there was kind of one word in the last line that hit me. He saw that he would have to face his problems squarely, that God might give him mastery. And it's funny, right, because like, I think about this process in the last year, right, of, like, first getting entirely abstinent and then sort of floundering around in steps 1, 2, and 3, and then finally making that decision to follow through with the rest of this work. And I guess making that decision to face my problems squarely, right? And I had, I mean, like, I had probably made that decision in the past to face my problems squarely, but it was always with an attitude of, I'm going to face my problems squarely as long as it looks like this when I come out on the other side, as long as, like, this is the outcome, you know? And I was always, like, just so attached to that. And that was, like, that control sort of element in there is I'll do it as long as, like, I get what it is that I think I want or I think I need on the other side of it, you know? And I got to tell you that following through with this process is probably the first time in my life here that I was willing to take these steps with no sort of guarantee on the other end. Or at least I didn't feel like I had that guarantee. You know, like, you guys were telling me over and over and over again, like, this will work if you pursue it honestly. This will work. This book tells me over and over and over again. Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness are the only things you need, but they are essential. but I really did. Like, I threw everything I had into this work with no sort of guarantee of what that might look on the other side. Just the hope that God might give me mastery. And it still hasn't looked like what I wanted it to look like by any means. But I'm really grateful that I've been able to let go of all those ideas of perfection that I had for so long. I've been able to let go of those and actually, like, find even better stuff that has come into play, and sometimes even worse stuff that has come into play. Because really, like, making the decision to follow through with these steps, no matter what it looked like, that was just like the tip of the iceberg of this world of an unknown, or this world of, like, ambiguity, to where it's like, I don't get a guarantee, but I shouldn't have a guarantee, because the whole thing is that the more that I work this program, the more that it works on me, and the more that I to work it, and it just, like, continues to perpetuate itself. And it wouldn't work like that if there was a guarantee, you know?
Hi.
So it's good that there's not one, at least for this compulsive overeater. So thanks for letting me share, Kathy. I pass.
Thank you, Jordan L. Okay, we have about 5 minutes. And so Chrissy K. and Barbara C., I'd ask you to take 2.5. Thank you. Chrissy,
yes,
please
Chrissy.
Share.
This is Chrissy K., compulsive overeater. Thank you, Kathy and Team Friday. This text is a way of thinking, different than the way the world thinks, different than the TV thinks. And the price has to be paid, which is giving up my thinking. And I have to expose myself to this thinking more and more with podcasts over and over, talking to recovered people more and more, and aligning my thinking through the steps and reading the book in a special sequence, each sentence. Because my thinking is inside out and backwards. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Chrissy K.
Good morning. I'm Barbara C. And the reading...
Barbara C., please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, so I'm new. I tried OA once before, and I didn't do everything that I needed to do, and as a result, I did the yo-yo diet, and the spiritual experience did not happen for me. I'm in and out, and I just need to say that I have to get a sponsor, and I'm looking for a sponsor. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Barbara C., and if you stay on right after we finish, Melanie C. will be welcoming our newcomers and inviting sponsors, okay? So stay on for a few more minutes. Okay, does anyone have a burning desire? We have a couple minutes. Anybody want to share before we close?
This is Marissa E.
Go ahead, Marissa.
Thank you, Kathy. This is Marissa E. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater near Los Angeles. Thank you, everyone, for your shares. Just reflecting, you know, the spree to end all sprees and, you know, coming to the awareness that we have to face things squarely. I feel like I spent years in OA not really able or willing to do that, right? I would overeat. I would binge. I talk to my sponsor, I go to meetings and share about it, but, you know, big picture, I was not willing to give up those alcoholic ingredients. You know, I was not willing to be entirely abstinent. Just like Bob here, right? He didn't want to make amends. He didn't want to let everybody know what was going on. There was still that hesitation, that apprehension, you know, that self-will. And so it wasn't until you know, it was a spree to end all sprees, and it wasn't anything of my doing, right? I did not orchestrate it. I did not give myself that willingness. I just really feel like there was a moment when God came in, and I felt and I had the willingness to find a guide, you know, from this line to put and write out my alcoholic ingredients and put those down. And then also to give up those character defects that I clung to before, right? Character assassination, gossip, self-righteousness. Those were things that I really, it felt good. You know, it felt good to have those. And at the same time, those defects and those alcoholic ingredients were killing me. And I'm just so grateful that I had the spree to end all sprees. You know, I've put down the food, and one day at a time, I recommit to this program. And like Dr. Bob, right, he went on that horrendous bender, and then he had the willingness too. So that's all. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Marissa E. And thank you, everyone who has been here and shared today. What a great meeting. And I want to give a special thank you to Penny L.C., Marissa E., Libby E., Julie E.B., and Stephanie L. for helping me to lead the meeting today. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Julie E.B., would you please read? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you shall surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.